Merkel Media.
And I, one time I was in Sims, Alabama, hauling azaleas. I went to sleep one night, and the truck was shaking a little bit. You know, I thought, man, it's windy out there. I didn't think nothing of it. And you said about not being woke up when you're sleeping.
Right.
The next morning, they come over about 6 o'clock in the morning. They were pounding on my truck till I got up. You all right? You all right? I was like, yeah, well, why? We just had a hurricane. You were in, your truck was in a hurricane. We thought your truck was going to blow over. We saw it going.
Wow.
I never woke up.
That was a good 8 hours sleep.
That is. I tell you what, that's a solid sleeper.
It rocked me like a cradle. I was out.
Right.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going Hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
And if you have a crazy and wild story you'd like to share with us from the road, give us an email. I know I do it every time. It's like you start talking and then your brain
you
goes.
You have notes.
I know. I haven't made myself notes and everything. If you have a crazy and wild story you'd like to share with us from the road, you can contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website at hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We want to hear your stories. Shipper, tell them something about the voicemail.
About the voicemail.
Yes.
If you have a short story, 5-10 minutes, give us a call. On the voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Leave your short story and we'll get to a voicemail show. Anything longer than that, get a hold of Jack and we'll schedule you to be on the show and do a full-length interview.
Man, that's fantastic. Nicely done, Chip.
Yeah, you like that.
I do.
I got notes, too.
Do you? If you find yourself in need of some preparedness stuff because we're going through shortages because of all the stuff that's going on, remember the toilet paper problems we had in like 2021?
Yeah, but they fixed that, man.
They did? Well, just everything else is going to be short this year. Toilet paper, we got plenty of. Everything else is short.
Joe said so.
Quiet over there.
Well, you know where to go. If you need those types of things, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They got all kinds of stuff. Anything you need for prep, for survival, including survival coffee, that'll last you 30 years on the shelf. Now, that's what I call good coffee.
Have you had it?
Have you had 30-year-old coffee yet? But I'm willing to give it a try.
All right.
I got no problem with trying it. That's the way it is.
It's okay.
So anyway, Ship, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Yeah, Buy Me a Coffee. If you enjoy the show and you feel like keeping Merkel caffeinated with the gallon of coffee that he drinks every hour, leave us a virtual tip jar. It's a virtual tip jar. You leave a tip and we'll get into that. Look at people that have contributed. We thank them for it and just leave the tip. And
just
we'll
leave
keep bringing this show to you. Oh, and by the way, being as Brian didn't say nothing, if you go on the Hammer Lane Legends website, you also look at the store there. We have all kinds of gear and stuff.
Look at you going. I do have them here, but you gave me a hard time last time I read my notes.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that is. Yeah, Hammer, HammerLaneLegends.com.
We're professional.
/ gear. You can reach us. You know, we're on all the social medias there, the YouTube, Facebook, the Twitter, I guess, you know, the bird thing. I don't know what Elon was going to buy, but not going to. We're all over. You can find us. Just HammerLaneLegends.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ship.
What else did we miss? No, that's, keep us filled. We got that.
Right? You got it all.
We're good to go.
You got it all. So you know what this means? This is time to introduce the guest.
Right. We don't have to say the name once.
We do.
Just cube it.
How about it, huh?
Swear it.
Well, right now, today, we're talking to Nevin. Nevin, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
It's fantastic. It's good to see you. It's nice to meet you today.
Nice day for it. Thank you. Thank you for interviewing me.
Oh, no problem. It's our pleasure. That's what
because we're people. We're people persons. Well,
that is what the show is about.
Good luck getting anything out of me because I'm hard to get started, but once you get me going, you won't be able to shut me up.
That's a good thing. Yeah. That is a good thing. That's what we like.
You got to sand down the surface, and then it's off to
the races. That's it. Fantastic. That sounds awesome. So, Nevin, how did you get into truck driving? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I got into truck driving when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Driving them Tonkas.
I used to ride with my dad. He had a meat. He worked for a meat butcher, and we used to deliver meat to the stores and stuff like that. And I always rode along with him from the time I was 5 years old. So, and then we had a slaughterhouse at our farm, and he had an old truck behind it that didn't run, but I could shift the gears and use the clutch and all that stuff.
Right.
So I would spend hours every day out in the truck driving, just going where I was going all over the world driving this truck. I practiced that for years, many, many years until we moved to Allentown. And I moved downtown when I was like 12 or 13, something like that, and started working for a man and started working on his farm. And by the time I was 15 years old, I was driving his trucks all over the farm and once in a while to the stores. And just always wanted to drive a truck.
Yeah.
Always wanted to own a farm and always wanted to drive a truck. I've gotten to do both, and I'm not sure should have done either one, but,
I think that's the question every truck driver asks themselves. Should I be doing this?
I had a few experiences. I've always loved driving a truck. I was fortunate enough. My boss left me take the boys with me.
That's really cool.
My sons, my daughter. I had them all along many times. This one, not quite as much. He wasn't real keen in spending a whole summer in a truck with dad.
Well, you know, I can understand
he had
that.
More, he had more important things to do.
Of course, I was young once.
You know, but his younger brother Austin, he would spend a whole summer with me.
Yeah,
all the time. And my daughter would spend a couple weeks at a time with me.
That is awesome. I tell you what, but that's really cool.
Yeah, so I've driven all over the East Coast, as far north as the end of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and as far south as Fort Lauderdale.
Nice.
Wow, yeah.
And as far west as Dallas, Texas. Strangest thing I ever hauled was I hauled a load of Cabbage Patch baby dolls. Clothing. Not the dolls, the clothing.
Just the clothing.
Yeah, from Long Island to Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
And that load, my God, back in 85, 86, it was like at the height of the Cabbage Patch.
Right,
right.
They almost gave me an armed guard to get me out of the place.
I was going
to
say, that's like a multi-billion dollar load there.
Yeah. It was really nuts. I think that load was worth something like $100,000.
Wow.
It was just unbelievable. But
back then, yeah. That was the craze, man.
It was.
Remember Christmas?
I certainly do.
I drove that all the way to Dallas and came back to Alabama. But
wow.
Had a few scares. Lost my brakes on I-77 between Virginia and North Carolina. That hill's like 7 miles long. I lost my brakes about halfway down the hill.
Wow.
I thought I was going to have to use a runoff ramp. I got it stopped. I don't know how to this day. I got it stopped. I got out of the truck. I walked to the side and I didn't throw up, but I stood there and shook for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I believe it.
I got back in the truck and then God, gone was fine. But I think the most scared I ever was this was like 86 or so. It was right after the Skyway, the Florida Skyway Bridge. The southbound side got taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Got knocked out by a cruise ship. this cruise ship or an ocean liner, I forget what it was, it hit it, and it actually fell down.
Wow.
The middle part of it fell down. So everybody was on the north, everybody had to do the northbound side. One lane each way. And they did, it was like that for several years until they got the other one built. I was going down there and I was, my God, I was only 25, 26, young and stupid, big signs all over, 30 miles an hour, empty truck, high winds, don't go on it.
Right.
Now, there was signs for winds, but it didn't say high winds. I was empty. I got to the top at about, I was doing about 50, 55. Crosswind hit me. It took me the whole bridge.
The whole width.
It took me the whole width to get straightened out. I stopped in the middle of the bridge. I had horns blowing and everything else. I finally got off the other side. And there again, I pulled over and stopped for a while.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the most scared I was ever, because I'm scared to death of heights anyway.
Sure.
And that thing's like 150 foot up in the air.
Wow. Yeah, and you roll over on that thing.
I mean, you look, there's nothing there but water on each side. I'm scared to death.
I've heard that about people having the same experience driving through the Chesapeake Bay Tunnel and getting on the bridge part and blowing over.
Now, that bridge I like. That one, I actually like that Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. The one I don't like is just the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. That's on Route 50.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's
right. Yeah, 50, yeah.
I was on that the first time this year. I swear I'd never go on it again.
Oh, really?
That's what you go. It's like, I don't know what it is, 5-6 miles long, maybe longer.
Yeah, it's...
And there's nothing on either side of you. You're out in the middle. You don't see nothing but water.
Wow.
I don't like that one. Don't like that one at all.
Road service comes to you on a tugboat.
Yeah.
What do you need up there?
I've had a lot of real good experiences I've been through. I was down in Florida when Andrew hit. I luckily missed it all. I was around Tampa when it went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to deliver down in Miami.
Yeah, couldn't get there.
Couldn't deliver. Couldn't get there. So they actually spent 2 days till they found a warehouse for me to put this load in. And then I was bringing foliage back. Well, I couldn't get down to Miami. So I had to do the northern part around Popka. And then brought a half a load home because everything I needed was down below. One time I was in Sam's, Alabama, hauling azaleas. I went to sleep one night. And truck was shaking a little bit, you know. I thought, man, it's windy out there. I didn't think nothing of it. And you said about not being woke up when you're sleeping.
Right.
The next morning, they come over about 6 o'clock in the morning. They were pounding on my truck till I got up. You all right? You all right? I was like, yeah, well, why? We just had a hurricane. You were in, your truck was in a hurricane. We thought your truck was going to blow over. We saw it going.
Wow.
I never even woke up.
That was a good 8 hours sleep.
That is. I tell you what, that's a solid sleeper.
It rocked me like a cradle. I was out.
Right.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty. When they told me that, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Heck yeah. That is a different experience, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know you were having it.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what's awesome.
That's the sad part. Well, the sad part is I didn't know I was having it.
Yeah.
I could have sat in a seat and said, ah.
I'd have sat in a seat and been worried the whole night. I've been like, this is not good.
So, but I've always wanted to drive a truck ever since I was little. It's all I've ever wanted to do, so.
I tell you what, it's a great job, you know. It's frustrating at times, you know.
Most of the time.
And it's harder.
And it's not even the job that's frustrating.
No. People.
It's everything
else. I'm a people
person. Yes, yeah, so you are a people. That's why you work at night, because you're a people person.
I feel it's a lot harder now than it ever is. I just don't think, and I blame the drivers, because they're, I don't want to say idiots. I just think they don't know, because I don't think they're taught in school.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
I mean, well, you come up to a red light now, the white line's there.
Yep.
The car parks in front of the white line.
Yes.
Instead of behind it.
Yeah.
Yep. All the time.
I've stopped in the middle of the road a couple of times and got out and told people, that's what that white line's for. Mm-hmm. Now you move back.
Right.
No, I'm not moving. You move back.
Yeah, I'm in your way now.
Right. Remember Tony saying that down Philly?
Yeah.
He just said, He just tries to make the turn. Like, pops the brakes, gets out his lunch pail there, and starts eating lunch.
One lady said, I'm going to call the cops on you. I said, go ahead, because you're wrong.
Right,
right.
You're right and you're wrong.
Yes.
Go ahead. I said, you people need to learn what the rules of the road are.
Yep.
And again, I don't necessarily blame them. They just don't know.
Yeah.
But they're not taught.
That's it.
That's the problem.
Right. That's it. When I took my kids out, when I taught them how to drive, each one of them, there was things because you do it for a living. There's things that you look at and you notice nobody does. I shouldn't say nobody, but most people don't do. They don't read signs.
Yep.
People do not read signs. That drives me insane. I mean, the big orange signs on the highway, it lets you know there's construction coming, lets you know the right lane is closed in 2 miles, lets you know the right lane is closed in 1 mile, lets you know the right lane is closed in a half a mile, and you're still in the right hand lane.
Yep.
It's like, it's things like that, and paying attention to the rules of the road. The stop line is there for a reason.
Yep.
It's
no common courtesy.
No.
It's all about me. It's not about, I don't care what anybody else does.
Yes.
It's all about me.
Yep.
I get where I want to go. I do what I want to do. The heck with you.
Like you said, the fun's taken out of driving.
It really is. And that's the shame of it.
And the worst one that kills me is like when you're on a busy highway, like, mm-hmm. I use 476 for an example.
Sure.
Because I drive that every day just about. These guys come up and they're going like, it's only 55 miles an hour. I'm doing 60 and 65 in the passing lane.
Right.
Because the other lane's full. I'm doing 60, 65 miles an hour. These guys come by and they go winging in and out, weaving in and out. And I think those people should be arrested. And
yes.
I think they should be charged for intent to cause a catastrophe.
Sure.
I really do.
Yeah, reckless endangerment
or something.
Yeah.
And now on that note, is just as a warning for anybody that drives 476 until August 21st, and I just read this the other day, the state police have put on a high-intensity stop. They're going to stop. They say they're going to stop aggressive drivers,
mm-hmm.
anybody driving aggressively, and start giving tickets.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it till August 21st. The last 3 weeks, I've seen a lot of things stopped.
Yeah.
Every one of them was a truck, not a single car.
No kidding.
Not one single car. Every one of them was a truck. So just everybody be warned, they're targeting trucks.
Yeah, they're out there.
Because there's more fines for a truck.
Oh, yeah.
More fines for a truck, but a lot of them, coming out here today, I'm UPS. Not UPS Freight, it's TransForce now. Buster Brown, UPS.
Yeah.
I could, I was in the right lane. He's in the left lane, actually going through the construction. And I mean, he was on the guy's bumper.
Right.
I had a hard time. I was looking to see if he had one of the front end collision things. It was
right.
A Kenworth. And apparently he didn't because he was right on that guy's ass.
Yes, wow. And even these guys.
In the construction, like you said, stuff happens in an instant in the construction. Truck loses a wheel. Forget it, man. It's over.
Yep.
And that's one of the saddest parts is. A lot of us, not necessarily us three.
Yeah,
us,
right. Us we get lopped into, the truck driver doesn't. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Into the guys that can't. Well, one of the things that really pisses me off is we get a lot into our farm. They can't speak a word of English.
Right.
And they can speak it, but they refuse to speak it.
They don't. Right. Yeah.
Because they have to be able to speak it or they can't get their license.
Sure.
Right. So that's when you start talking to them about in terms of paychecks. They know. They then don't speak English then.
Yep. But it's just
got that end button right.
Yeah,
it's just they won't speak English to you. You try to talk to them,
right?
And they act like they don't understand you. And a lot of them, I don't think do. And
sure,
I just think a lot of people got licenses that should never have gotten them.
Right,
and a lot of people came over from Europe, came over when there was a truck shortage, and they came over and. I don't know for a fact, but it just seems to me like they brought their license along and they left that go through and never tested them on our laws just because they needed drivers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that, but it sure seems that way.
Sounds good in my head.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. My head.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The sad thing is that it seems to be like, where do you find the answers for these things? You know? You're left to have to muse it in your own mind you know, and try and figure out, because you have to deal with these people.
Right.
You know?
And I do wish they would do more with the kids when they're teaching them how to drive.
Yeah.
They teach them how to drive around the truck. My boys and my daughter, they knew because they rode with me.
Sure.
So they knew not necessarily the laws, but the common sense things that you need to know.
Yeah.
Well, there's the big word right there, common sense.
Right, yeah. That's the biggest thing is common sense.
It's not as common as we think.
It's just the common sense part of it. It's just, and it doesn't matter. Some of the kids are the smartest kids in the world are the dumbest when it comes to common sense.
Yeah.
They don't know a thing. If it's not in a book, they don't know.
They don't know.
I feel sorry for that because it's just,
I don't know. Do you?
It's just. I don't know. I don't know how to change that. I wish I did. I don't know how. You could put out courses, but would anybody come? First of all, I don't have the money to do it.
Right.
It costs a lot of money.
It's expensive.
Like that.
Yeah.
I would be willing to take part in a course like that.
Yeah, but you think about this. That could be your exit strategy.
Could be.
You know, Google common sense. Is it there? I mean, hey, you could be the guy.
Hey, Siri, show me some common sense.
Right.
You know, it's not a bad
idea. Sorry, you're shit out of luck.
She says it nicer than you do.
Yeah, well.
I think they should.
I'm not sure I understand.
That's great.
Oh, my word.
I've always said I wanted to come up with a Siri where it talks like we talk, where, hey, idiot.
Right.
If you're not going to listen to what I tell you, get lost.
Right.
I could do that. That I could do, and because I am a people person.
Say special words.
Exactly.
I'd love to have him.
Yes.
Have a set like that.
That would be hilarious.
I love like George Carlin, the seven words.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, to further, I know you guys drive for Pitt, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you guys know now because we were talking downstairs.
Right.
But I was working for my boss, and when my wife left, and I had the two boys and my daughter, they stayed with me, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, they stayed with me. And now, looking back on it now, I don't know how she stuck with me as long as she did. She should have left years before.
Well,
just because I was never home. I was,
right.
It was one of those things where I thought I was doing the right thing because I was always away trying to make money.
Sure.
I thought I was doing the right thing.
Well, we said it on the show before, you know, it takes a special woman.
Oh my God.
Right.
To be with a truck driver for the simple fact of the matter of all the alone time.
Yep.
You know, raising the kids, dealing with, hey, the sink's leaking and you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, I can call a plumber and they'll be over, you know.
Right.
You know, they're basically living on living on their own with all the responsibility. And, you know, you stop in every 5 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
You know, for a couple, 2-3 days, and you're back out for another 5-6 weeks.
Right. Yeah,
fortunately, with me, I was only going a week at a time, usually.
Good.
Except during the summer when it was watermelons and cantaloupes. When it was watermelon and cantaloupe season, that was my time of the year. Because then I would be away for 6 weeks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my wife, her father was a truck driver. So I kind of felt she knew.
Right, yeah, right.
She knew what she was getting into.
Yep, exactly.
Plus I ran a produce business, which is, if anybody's been in the produce business, they know that's not easy either.
That's for sure.
You're always working. Always. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And she understood it for a long, long time. She put up with a lot. You know, and I didn't understand it when she left. But anyway, when she did, I felt I had to find another job.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working at Pitt, Ohio on the dock. And I worked there for probably a couple months on the docks at night.
Okay.
Worked during the day and then go work the docks at night. And Bill Angler at the time was running the place.
Right.
Great. One of the greatest men I've ever met.
Yes, he was.
He was a
yes, sir.
I totally agree with that.
But he came up to me one time. Somebody told him that I could drive.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who, most of the guys that I worked with on the dock knew I could.
Right.
But I never said any to them because I didn't know if I wanted to be driving at night. Number one. Number two, I didn't know how much help I could be.
Right.
Just, you know, working a couple hours a night.
Right.
How much help could I do in a truck? So he came up to me one day. He's like, hey, they tell me you can drive a truck. I said, yeah. Have you been driving long? I said, well, 25, 30 years. You have a clean record? I said, yeah. Why the hell didn't you tell me?
That sounds like Bill.
I was like, I didn't think you wanted a part, you know, a part time, a couple hours a night.
Right.
I didn't think it would do you any good. Said, oh my God, no. He said, come in here. So he took me into the office and he said, you're filling out this paper. I don't know what it was. And he said, when can you start driving? I was like, what do you mean? He said, what night can you start driving? I said, tomorrow. He said, I can drive tonight if you want. So he went out and I forget who was dispatching at the time. I don't remember, but I said, get him a truck. He's going, I think the first one, I think was Cherry Hill.
Uh-huh.
He gave me a couple of close ones. Norristown. Actually, the first one was Norristown. He said, you're going to do a Norristown. We're going to see how you make out. That's where I started. And I was maybe a week, then I was running Baltimore. I was running out to mid-Pennsylvania. Dropped to a guy that was running Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Washington.
Bosh, okay.
And I would meet with a guy at Route 75 on the turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd drop and hook, and I'd come back and started doing all that. So I drove for him. Oh, what was it, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Mostly. Something like that. Yeah. And at the time, my son was working with me on my regular job.
Uh-huh.
Nevin was working on a regular job. And he was yard jockeying for me. He started yard jockeying at 14 years old.
No kidding. Wow.
And he was good. He was pretty good.
That's freaking fantastic, dude.
I thought
I was good. Then my brother started to live. Good.
His, yeah,
his brother started at 13.
My brother's a driver.
Yeah, he was Austin. Nevin was good, but I do have to say Austin could drive circles
just
around.
Took
well, he had two generations of practice there already. Well, you know, watching what was going on Austin between
spent,
you and
like
him.
I said, he spent summers with me.
Right.
He spent when we were hauling watermelons and cantaloupes. He helped me load watermelons and cantaloupes, which was that's a whole other subject for me. That's. You get me started with that, I'll be here all day. That was my my thing. But so he'd been driving jockeying, and he kept saying he was getting tired of the farm. Yeah, I understood. I was too. So I think I said to Darren that he was looking for part time work.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're always looking for part-time.
Yep. Oh, yep. Always. You know
it. Well, get him to come in and fill out an application. So he came in and he filled out an application. And they hired him because of me. Because I don't want to brag, but I got along with everybody.
It's important.
Wonderful.
Well, yeah, that's not bragging. That's just being honest.
Everybody
you know?
At Pitt, Ohio.
They knew what your work ethic was. So, yeah. You know.
Everybody there liked me, and I worked well with everybody. Right. There wasn't a single person there I had a problem with.
That's awesome.
And I loved it there. I really did. And that was one of my other big mistakes was not quitting and going there. I should have, but instead I bought into the farm. So I couldn't, once I bought into the farm, then I wasn't allowed to work part-time there.
Oh, wow.
And I worked part-time the last year I was there. I did it just because I loved doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I loved the place that much. I really did. But once I signed the papers for a partnership, my boss called me in and said, you can't run Florida anymore for foliage. Because I had told him one time, if you take my foliage runs away from me, I walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end. So once I signed the papers, he called me in the office the next day. I wasn't allowed to run Florida anymore. I had to quit my part-time job.
Wow.
I was the company.
Yeah. You want a total commitment.
I was totally committed to the company. So
mm.
So that's where that ended. But when Nevin came in, I think from day one, they pretty much treated him like me, I believe.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, I
there was a time... I don't know if it's so much that like that now, but there was a time this boy couldn't do a whole lot wrong there.
The golden child.
Yeah, he was.
I think it's still that way.
Yeah. So
they like Nevin. We all like Nevin. Well, he's a good guy.
I'm an alright
guy. He's good. You're a good guy.
Yeah, he's easy to get along with.
He is.
Very easy to get along with. And he's got a better mouth on him than his dad had. His dad couldn't keep his mouth shut. He can.
Did you guys go to school together?
Yeah. The school of hard knocks and early truck driving. Thank you.
Is that what school you went to?
Yes. Tell it like it is. No sugarcoating here.
Yeah.
Snowflakes need not apply.
People person. People person.
That about sums it up. Yeah.
Hit the nail.
Well, that's important. I mean, you know,
it is important.
They had looked to you, and you know, they see what you're good at doing, and figured the apple can't fall that far from the tree, or in your case, right? Watermelon or cantaloupe.
Yeah. Just on a side note on that, I did that for I want to say 8 years that I did that.
No kidding.
And then when my boss. When my boss sold the three produce stores, we couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
I hauled watermelons for a year after that because we still had enough friends in the business that we could sell watermelons to.
Right.
And I did cantaloupes once in a great while. But we did that, and then I couldn't go anymore. Broke my heart. But I was in this store like 2 years after that. I said to my wife, I said, you know, I didn't eat cantaloupes for a long time after that, or watermelons. I just wouldn't eat them. About 2 years later, I said to my wife at the time, I said, I'm hungry for a cantaloupe. Let's go get a cantaloupe. So we went to the store, walked up to the cantaloupes, found one I liked, looked at the price, said it, walked back down. It was another year before I bought a cantaloupe. I spent eight years and never paid for a watermelon and a cantaloupe, and I ate them every day.
Right,
every That's single true. Day.
Wow!
Because when at the market when you would go to the farm, because the farmers had pickups loaded with them, and you would go, and if you're going to buy from this farmer or that farmer, you cut one open and you'd try it.
Right.
So all day long, he's walking around cutting up people's watermelons.
Yeah.
Free watermelon.
And the market we went to. It was Cordial, Georgia. It was at one time it was the watermelon capital of the world. They put more water. Yeah,
hello, Georgia.
Self-proclaimed, but actually pretty much true.
Uh-huh.
They would go through. They would load anywhere from 75 to 100 trailers a day out of that place.
Wow!
All by hand, by pickup trucks.
Yeah. Wow.
No kidding.
They would bring a pickup truck in.
That's a lot of melon moving.
You got that right.
An 8 foot bed in a pickup truck. Yeah. And it would be stacked higher than you were.
It wow.
The beds would be rubbing on the tires.
Rubbing on the tires. And they would pull a trailer that was another pickup truck bed.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Because when the motor blows, you just cut the cab off and fold the frame in and put a tongue on it.
Damn trailer.
And down there, when the watermelons were ripe, 12-year-old kids were driving these trucks in off the
right.
Boats.
Wow.
It was a legal thing to do at 12, 13.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Up here, that's called a farm license.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. You know? Yeah, that's exactly what it was, yeah. But that place was just out of this world. That was, and I went there years after it's closed up now. Well, it's still there, and they still bring in, but now it's all seed. It's all crap watermelons because they're all seedless. They're horrible, and they only do one type of cantaloupe anymore. At that time, there was... What, 10, 12, 15 different types of cantaloupes, 20 different types of watermelons.
No kidding.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was so many different types. And the Jubilee's like 80, 90-pound watermelons.
Wow.
You would buy, and it was
That's awesome.
Oh, my God, it was...
I'd love to see a watermelon like that.
It was, in my mind, anybody that's in the produce business knows about this. It was the best time to be in the produce business.
Yeah.
It really was. And, but we were there, my wife and I, we went down to Florida, I want to say 6, 8 years ago. And I said, I'm going to take you to Cordial. You got to see the market. We drove into the market. And at the time when Nevin was with me, when the kids were with me, there was four sheds, two for cantaloupes, two for watermelons. They were just sheds. They were like 30 foot wide mm-hmm. by maybe 150 foot long. You know, it's 200 foot long. And the guys, farmers just pulled the pickups in under the shed.
Imagine the Pitt, Ohio, the Allentown terminal.
Okay.
That's a shed just, times four.
Just the roof.
Just the roof. Yeah. Open
like, right. Like an open pole like building.
And there was four. And there was four of them.
Wow.
And you just walk through and see the guy and make you, you know, eat your watermelon and make you deal. And back then, I'm telling you, there was days I paid a half a cent a pound. I paid 10 cents for a 20 pound watermelon.
Wow.
Literally.
Oh, and my word.
So anyway, you know, cantaloupes, I bought cantaloupes as low as 2 cents a piece. And as high as a quarter a piece.
Wow.
I don't think I ever paid over a quarter. Maybe a couple of times if it's raining. Honeydews, you know, it was cantaloupes, honeydews, watermelons. All melons. That's uh-huh. about the only thing. Right. Once in a while, somebody brings some peppers in and water, tomatoes. Not very often. But anyway, so I took my wife there. I said, you're going to see Cordial. I'm taking you to this place because it was my life
mm-hmm.
at one time. So we drove in. Four sheds are there. Two of them are completely empty. The other two have maybe six pickups in them.
Wow.
And only one kind of cantaloupe, only one kind of seedless watermelon. Only like three trucks in the whole place.
What the heck happened?
And I started talking to one of the guards that actually happened to be there
mm-hmm.
when I was there buying. And of course, we started reminiscing. We were both crying till the end of it.
Right.
Yeah, I believe it.
This
yeah.
was your life. This is sure. what you did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now since the big box stores, you know, the Safeways, the Piggly Wiggly's. Well,
and that's exactly what happened. We brought it on. The buyers ourselves brought it on because a lot of them did. And I even bought into it too. We started buying from the same people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then pretty soon you're not going to the auction anymore because they had to pay the auction a tax
right.
to sell the watermelons. We didn't have to, but they did. So instead of that, you just go right to the farm.
Right.
And buy it right and buy from them right to his farm.
Right.
Well, I wasn't the only one. Everybody started doing that towards the end. And it just ruined the market.
That was started a downfall.
That was the start of the downfall, yep.
That is such a shame.
It was a terrible shame. I mean, literally for 6 to 8 weeks out of the year, there was so much business there, so much going on.
Wow.
And you done
just
that
to see it wiped out.
You did that for how long?
For about 8 years.
8 years.
And I would start. I would go down with the first trailer. I'd buy my load, head home, meet a guy halfway home, switch with him, and go back down. And I got to do all the buying. And back then, there was no cell phones back then.
Right.
Right.
So I would call Dan. I had to call Dan.
Yeah, we remember those days, Nevin.
I had to call Dan every day and talk to him. And of course, if it was a day that it was raining and I couldn't get loaded, he didn't understand that. So he's like, well, that's not an excuse. You have to buy. It's like, there's nobody here. It's raining.
Right.
It's been raining for a whole day. You can't pick. Well, I don't want to hear it. You need to find somewhere to buy them. So I was like, okay, click. And I wouldn't call him back until the next day.
Got to do what you got to do.
That's it.
So, I mean, then you could get away with that, you know.
Right.
Of course, he'd be mad, but he'd get over it. For 6 to 8 weeks out of the year. It was literally the best time of my life.
Sure.
He's like a kid at a candy store.
How about?
he was well enough known down there that he would park his truck at a certain spot. And uh-huh. get, like in the back. And the guys that would come around and like for you,
uh-huh.
that when they saw his truck there, I'm right up. Like he had a crew just pulling through the gate.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, that's really cool. You have a good reputation.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because if they saw you coming through and you have a good reputation, they ain't going to bother.
One of them,
you know, you can be here every week and they don't care. Right. You know,
one of
that's them, fantastic.
The first couple of times I didn't have the same people. But then I got this young kid come up. I'll never forget. He was only, I think, 12 years old when he came up. and I was loading cantaloupes. Mm-hmm. So he's like, can I load those cantaloupes for you? I was like, you're too little. You can't do this. I can do that. No, you can't. Yes, I can. I can do it. And I said, well, do you have any other people to help? And he said, I have my cousin, Red. Red was a year older, I think. I think Red was 13. And they got a couple other guys. We can do this. I said, are you sure? Yes, we can do this. I said, okay, well, it doesn't pay much. And I think back then, I got like 10,000 cantaloupes on a load.
Uh-huh.
And I paid like $200 to get it loaded. I gave them 150. I said, I'm going to take a chance on you, but I'm only going to pay you $150. I think I might have only given them $100. But I said, if you guys do well, you will be my crew for the summer. Can you do watermelons? Well, we can do watermelons too. It's like, I buy big ones. We'll get it figured out. We can do it. It's like, okay. So they started with me. They were my crew the whole time.
That's awesome.
The one went to the Navy. Don't know whatever happened to him. He went to the Navy. He did very well for himself in the Navy. His sister, unfortunately, overdosed and died. But he did very well in the Navy. And his cousin, Red, turned into a preacher.
No kidding.
Preacher at a big church down there.
Wow.
And then I don't know what happened to the other. There's like six of them. And they worked for me. Once they got started with me, and they were as faithful as could be. They were absolutely faithful. It was unbelievable.
That's really cool.
You sure don't have that anymore nowadays.
Oh, you got that right.
That's hard to find now.
It is.
I took better care of them than most of the guys. They knew I was going to pay them. They knew I didn't pay as much as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew I wasn't going to run out on them. They knew
right.
that. And they also knew I gave them a chance that nobody else would.
Sure.
Nobody would hire them because they were too young.
Right.
You know. And I got in a lot of trouble from the other guys.
Really?
From the other lumpers. Oh, they gave me all kinds of shit.
Because they were so young?
Because I was hiring.
You were hiring somebody.
Yeah. And these guys were doing it for a living. And they were old enough to make a living. They were 18, 20 years old.
Right.
I was taking money out of their pockets.
Yeah.
But who knows? Was a couple of times I had to get the police.
Wow.
To tell them to leave me alone.
But yeah, you think back, and I think to myself, you know, kids that young wouldn't normally be doing something like that if they didn't have to.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. So I'm sure what you were doing, helping them, was helping their families. Yep. You know, because they're kids. You know,
and back then, that was in the 80s.
It's a different world.
It's a totally different world.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Kids wanted to work back then. Kids wanted to make something of themselves.
Kids wanted to work. Kids wanted to cut grass.
The ones that didn't, the gang members or whatever,
right.
They didn't come into the place. They stayed away. Sure. They stayed out. But the kids that actually wanted to make something of themselves, they came in there and they worked their asses off.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you that was easy. That was not easy.
Oh, my word. I can imagine it's not.
It was not easy work.
They knew the value of a dollar.
Yep.
And they didn't hand... to each other, you tossed.
Yeah.
Like tossing across the room.
That's amazing. I mean, to be 12 years old and then, you know, tossing melons around, you know.
And it can't it's
hard. Could be an Olympic sport at one point.
I know, right? If they could do curling for an Olympic sport. You know? No offense if anybody out there likes curling.
It was just an amazing sight to see. It was like a whole city inside itself.
Right. That is amazing.
Yeah, just you explaining it, you know, I could see your heartbreak going back down after 30 years and seeing what it once was to what it is now, what it's become.
I would be willing to bet it's not even there anymore.
Wow, that's such a shame.
To something that was so huge, and was such it made the city a core deal for the summer.
Right.
I mean, they would start out Father's Day. It would start right around about a week or two before Father's Day. They would start picking, and it would go. They would go clear into September. I would be done by the end of July, usually the middle of July. Like I said, 6 to 8 weeks. I was never there more than 8 weeks. I don't think.
Do you know how long that place was there? Like
before
when it started? Yeah.
I don't think it was there many years before me, only because. I know before that, my boss, we used to go to a place in South Carolina Blackville, South Carolina.
Okay.
That was the watermelon place at the time. And then for whatever reason, somebody got this started in Cordele. It was much bigger than Blackville. I would be willing to bet it was probably only there 10 years before I started going.
Wow.
You know, something like that. Maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's where the original watermelon crawl started from.
I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask. Look at that. He actually does a little music thing every now and then. He's like a walking jukebox.
Like I tell people, I got useless stuff stored up here.
I mean, it got
for good radio.
It does. It's filler.
It got popular enough with the agricultural. They developed their own cantaloupe.
Oh, no kidding.
There's cantaloupe. It was called Cordele. At the time, that was the name of the cantaloupe.
Right.
It was developed by their agriculture department. They grow them now. They're called Athenas now. But
I'm going to ask a really dumb question, but I'm going to ask it because I've always wondered this question. I've never asked anybody this. How do you grow a seedless watermelon?
You know, I have no idea.
Okay.
Because it starts from seed.
Right. That's what
it starts from seed, and I don't know.
And are the,
at one time, I thought they sprayed something on it so the seeds dried up, shriveled up. But I quite honestly, I do not know.
Yeah,
in all these years, you would think I would have asked somebody.
Well, and where do they get the seeds for them?
But,
question for Monsanto.
It is, isn't it?
Well, either that or, you know.
Is this getting into a Tony show now?
That is. I know. It's just, we just took that turn.
Yeah. You know, we can always call up, you know, the horticulture department at Penn State there and they can get back to us.
We could.
You know, with all our listeners.
We just made that left-hand turn on Conspiracy Boulevard.
It's funny you said that. It's funny you said that because I would never, to this day, how many seeded watermelons have I ever bought and eaten?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
this guy's pretty specific.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. He knows what he likes, you know.
No, that's just people don't like spitting the seeds, you know. I just think to myself,
well, what's
the like, seeded ones are going to have more flavor? I would think.
They absolutely do.
And that was the best cartoons on. Spitting the seeds, exactly. Or they eat a whole big watermelon and shoot them out like a machine gun. I mean, you know, I grew up on those funny cartoons, not like the stuff they have today. So
they got rid of them too.
I know. It's so, all gone.
Thanks, woke culture.
Right.
So I don't know.
That's amazing. It really is.
You look back on it, I've had a pretty interesting life. The best part was being able to take these guys along. This one here, this one scared the shit out of me one night. He was only like 7 or 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
We were coming into Virginia, and I had to go to the bathroom. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. He was sound asleep. I pull the truck into the rest area and look back, call his name, out cold. Well, I got to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to wake him up.
Right.
And drag him into
the
bathroom.
Yeah. Lock the doors. And
so I did. I got out.
Cracked the window.
No.
It's a lot of room in a truck. He'll be all right. It's nighttime.
So I get out of the truck. I go to the bathroom. I come back. I was in the bathroom for probably 5 minutes, maybe a little longer. But anyway, I come back, jump in the truck, put it in gear, hit the brakes, push the brakes off, look in the bunk. Hey, bud, we're leaving. No answer. Nevin, we're leaving. No answer. Turn the light on.
No, Nevin.
Jackass isn't in the bed.
Wow.
Well, you could have been in, you know, coming across the state board of PA. Yeah. You know what? I'm missing somebody here.
Luckily, because I had it in gear. Yeah.
It's a good thing you know, second thought there.
You know, the old theory. Yeah, you know, I'm here. I'm at the fuel stop. When this thing clicks off, you better be back in the vehicle or we're leaving without you. Road trip.
So, of course, I get out of the truck. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm running all around the parking lot thinking he's in the parking lot. He's not in the parking lot. Oh my God. How am I going to tell my wife that I just lost our son in Virginia? So
he's close.
So I just said, well, there's only one other place. I've walked all over this place. I walk up to the bathroom. There he is coming out of the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't wait for you.
Wow.
So, that's
a heart attack all by itself.
Oh, my God, was that a heart attack?
Yeah.
He remembers that. Well, I don't remember that.
Well, you were, like I said, you were, I'm just, actually, I don't even, he was barely old enough to get in and out of the truck himself.
Wow.
Because back then it was a cab over. It wasn't like he had a step to go down to
mm-hmm. He really had to climb, yeah. That's cool.
And, that one.
That'll shake you up.
That one shook me up.
Yeah.
That one and the other one I know he won't remember was this was before that. This was in the middle of the winter. And your mom was long. And Austin wasn't even born yet. You were only two or 3 years old.
Yeah.
Because our other son wasn't even born yet. And he's 3 years older.
Okay.
So we're coming through the middle of Virginia.
It's always Virginia.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
I can't say it.
Anyway. Yes, you can. If you hear the crap come out of my mouth, yes, you can.
Anyway, we're coming through Virginia on 81, the hills, right? My throttle sticks.
Ooh.
Floored. Now, I had a cab over Kenworth. When that thing was floored, it would go 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
At one point, you're saying, look at how much time I'm making.
Yeah, I was. And the next thing, I was like, oh. So the throttle sticks. I was like, oh, God, now what do I do?
Right.
I didn't know what to do. Luckily, came down a hill, started up the other side. Luckily, I was loaded and I was heavy. So it started lugging the engine. It's like, okay, that's the best thing you can do.
Right.
Got about halfway up the hill, started lugging even more, kept it in gear. Got it off to the side and just hit the brakes and stalled it.
Sure.
It's like 10 degrees outside. What do you do? Again, no cell phones. I had a CV. So got the CV and somebody was calling out and somebody stopped. They asked what the problem was. And I told them we were only from maybe 15 miles from the truck stop. I can't remember which one it was now, but it was on 81. It was on the left-hand side of the road, right around Wytheville. But I don't remember. It was right by 77. It was north.
Okay.
Blue something. Anyway, it was a TA truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
He took me there, and he said, "Do you want to take?" I said, "He said, do you have anybody else with you?" I said, "Yeah, my wife and my son." He's like, "Well, you want to take them along?" I was like, "Well, where are we going to put them? You have no room in your truck." "I know, but we'll make them fit." I was like, "No, that's all right. We'll go there. I'll call the cops and have them go pick them up."
Mm-hmm.
So go to the truck stop and go into the shop and tell them what happened. Ask them if they could take me back to get these two. "Oh, well, we don't have anybody available." I was like, "It's 10 effing degrees outside. And you're going to tell me you're going to let my wife and kid freeze in there?"
Right.
And he said, "Well, we're sorry. We don't have anybody to send."
Wow.
I said, "Okay, well, where's your phone? I got to call the police." So got the phone, called the police. "Oh, we don't have anybody near her." I said, "I don't give a damn if you do or not. You need to send somebody for my wife and kid. It's 10 degrees outside."
Right.
"Well, why did you leave me in the truck?" And I explained that the truck picked me up and took it up, went to the TA open, they would send somebody out. "Well, now they won't send anybody out. So now my wife and kid are stuck." "Well, we'll get there as soon as we can." They were in the truck for damn near an hour.
No
now,
kidding.
Luckily, we had a lot of blankets and a sleeping bag and stuff.
Right.
So they were cold, but they were all right. But that right there turned me on Virginia totally. Virginia and I have not been friends ever since.
Yeah.
Because of that.
I don't blame you.
Because the cop just, it was like they didn't care.
Right. Yeah, that's a shame. You think, call a state trooper or whatever. I mean, it's not that hard.
That's their job. That's right. What they're there for. And to just ignore it.
Yeah.
I was not very happy.
I mean,
it was Virginia State.
Virginia took my license. Tennessee's the one that really took it and wouldn't give it back.
That's all right. Wow. You just go over to Jersey, get another one.
Hand them out.
I got stopped at a weigh station on Mont Eagle, at the top of Mont Eagle. was just rest area, mm-hmm. but they decided to throw a DOT stop up. So I got pulled in, and I was supposed to be in McMinnville to load. I was like 45 minutes from where I had to be. I had an hour and a half, so I promised the guy I'd be there. Called me, they went through my truck, had a couple lights out, and I had to fix the lights and all that stuff. It took me like an hour and a half to get everything fixed. Now, I will say they left me go on the air water because neither one of them would work. Mm-hmm. I got one of them to work, but I couldn't get the other one to work. So the guy said, I'm going to walk away. You get that light bulb out and put it in the other one and get that one working. And I'll let you go. And he did. He was true to his word. He let me go. Clearance lights. It's like, out of.
Yeah, he's supposed to get right. Those. It's 13.6.
I said, it's only one out. And you're going to tell me I can't leave because of that?
Wow.
He's like, well, yeah. I was like, no. He's like, that's the way it is, or you have to wait until we leave. I was like, well, how soon are you leaving? He said, well, not until you fix that now. So.
Wow.
He said, but you get this other one fixed. And he said, I'll let you go on that. So I did. I switched the light bulbs around. Mm-hmm. And I called him back. I said, it's working. So he went in and it was working. He said, okay. He said, you did what I told. I didn't see that light. Get out of here. He let me go.
Nice.
But I was there an hour and a half. I was already late.
Right.
So again, I had this Kenworth that freaking moved. I come out of the thing and I floor it. I'm only a mile away from my exit. Cop on the other side comes across. I look down. I was doing 105. I was like, okay, this isn't going to be good.
Nope.
At this point, do I lift or just wait till I get there?
Right. So,
and again, I don't know if I was actually doing 105. I'm not sure how accurate my speedometer was, mm-hmm. but I was told that was probably pretty good. So anyway, I was a mile away from. So he caught up with me. I was at the exit.
Wow.
So I go off the exit to top and I pull over. He come out with his gun. And he's like, what do you think you're doing? What are you trying to do? Run away from me? I was like, you see what the hell I'm driving? I'm going to run away from you?
Right.
What, you think I'm stupid? He's like, well, yeah, I do. What the hell were you doing doing 105 miles or 100 miles an hour? I was like, I think he said, what are you doing 100 miles an hour? I told him what happened. He's like, well, that's not an excuse. I said, you're right. It's not. I just was mad and I was trying to get where I was going. And he said, well, where are you going? And I told him, he made me call the company that I was going to make sure I was actually going there.
No
I
kidding.
Lying. So after all that, he wrote me my ticket and all that. And said, okay, I'll see you. It's like, okay. And he's like, what's that for? I want my license.
Right.
Oh, hell no. It's like, what do you mean, hell no? It's like, you're not getting this back. It's like, what do you mean I'm not getting the light out of him? So I don't care how you drive. You're not getting this back until we get our money.
Wow.
So I said, okay. I said, don't think you're going to stop me. You're not the first time I've driven without a license.
Don't worry. I got more in the glove compartment. Next to the log books.
Not the right thing to say, but I was furious.
Sure.
I was furious. So he said, so it is. He said, you pay your fine and we'll send you your license. I said, okay. I calmed down a little bit, you know, because I knew I wasn't going to get out of there unless I did.
Right.
So I calmed down. Gave me said, go. He said, I will give you a paper stating what happened. He said, mm-hmm. You have your ticket here. Show them this and tell them we kept your license until you pay. And he said, they should let you go. I said, what about other states? He said, they should all honor it. He said, if they don't, they'll just have to call us and we'll tell them. And we will tell them.
Keyword should.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So I said, okay. So went, picked up my load, got home, told my wife. She's like, okay, how much does it cost? I said, I don't know, and I don't care. She's like, what do you mean? I said, I'm not sending it. She's like, what do you mean? I said, they're never going to see that money from me. She said, well, you won't be allowed to drive in Tennessee. I said, see if I care. I never said it to him. And I drove in Tennessee for a few years after that. I never sent him the money. and they never sent me my license. But the best part about that was I got lucky on that because my license was only like a month through and running out.
Right.
So I sent for my new one and I got it.
Right.
So,
who needs it?
Yeah.
I'm good to go. I didn't even, that's like something that I used to see in the movies or something like that. I didn't actually did that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, he was in Tennessee for crying out loud. Yeah. You know, they just make it up as they go.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, you see that stuff in the movies. Well, but
And people don't believe it, but it actually was a lot like that.
Wow.
Things were so much easier down south back then.
Yeah.
They left you to, as long as you were decent to them, as long as you didn't give them a real attitude.
Right.
Now, I had to calm down because I had started giving him an attitude.
Sure.
And I knew that was not the right thing to do. But as long as you were decent to them and talked to them, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to sit in every state for 8 hours for not having a logbook. The stupidest thing I did was I told the cop in South Carolina, I don't need a logbook. I'm not carrying logs.
Was not a humorous individual.
No. he had no sense of humor. No sense of humor.
Had no funny bone.
No.
That's crazy.
I got melons on the back here. Do you see a log?
Yeah.
So that's funny.
There was another time I got stopped at a DOT stop, and the cop said, let me see your logbook. I said, can't. What do you mean you can't? Don't have one. What do you mean you don't have one? So I looked at my truck. I don't have it. I must have left it at the restaurant back there. He's like, okay, pull over there. And my dad was along at the time.
Uh-huh.
First time he ever went anywhere with me in the truck. And we were going to Florida. So I pull over. He says, okay. He says, he walks around the truck and checks it all over. Says, well, I don't really see anything else wrong. So you just have to set 8 hours and then you can go. It's like, okay. He said, now when you go stop somewhere and get a logbook and fill it out. Okay. He said, but after telling you that, I will tell you a little secret. He said, you did the best thing you could have done was tell me not you don't have a logbook. He said, I can only give you a $25 fine. If you would have had a logbook, I could have fined you $25 for everything I found wrong.
Wow.
So he said, you got away with $25 and you had to set 8 hours. He said,
not a bad trade-off.
That was the smartest thing you could have done.
Heck yeah.
I said, well, I didn't know that. But he said, well, I didn't tell you that either.
I'll watch it next time.
Yeah. So,
that is crazy.
It was just so much different back then.
Yeah,
it was.
I one of my biggest complaints now with the new laws.
Mm-hmm.
For the over-the-road drivers. Now, day drivers like I am now, I don't care too much about the hourly thing. That's not a big deal.
Right.
I don't think for the over-the-road drivers, I am surprised there's not more wrecks. The thing of forcing them to be on duty 8-14 hours straight.
Right.
And then 10 off.
You used to be able to
first
stop
of all,
the clock.
You
can't yep.
stop the clock. First of all, you have to set for 10 hours.
Yep.
There's nobody in the world that's going to sleep for 10 hours.
Right.
Especially if you're at a truck stop. You're going to sleep for 6 hours, 5-6 hours.
Yep.
Then you got to sit there for 4 hours and not do nothing.
Yeah, twiddle your thumbs or polish your wheels.
By the time you're ready to go again, you're sleepy.
Right.
Period.
Right.
You are sleepy. When I used to do it years ago,
mm-hmm.
I'd drive for five, sleep for, take off for five. Not necessarily sleep, but I'd stop for five. Drive for five in a sleeper. Drive for five. That's how I did it for years. Never had a problem with the DOT doing it that way. Once in a while, I'd have to stop and pull over to take a little bit of a nap.
Sure.
But it wasn't like I was forced to drive right. and work 14 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the dumbest thing in the world. And I think the person that got that into effect should have had to drive a truck for 2 years and make a living at it, or at least a year, and make a living at it. And then,
yes.
And then that law would have never been put into effect.
Yep.
Period. And I believe the ATA too, they were a big part of that.
Yeah.
They were a big push on that and they were wrong.
I totally agree.
So
that is one of the things I look at and I'm like, you know, who in their right mind wants to work 14 hours a day? Yeah. Yet as a truck driver, your company can look at you and they can tell you, well, you have the time. Yeah. You have to do this. And it's like, wait a second. That's not, you know, that to me, that's one of the reasons why they have such a hard time getting drivers. You know, you look at some of the stupid rules that we have,
yep.
you know, things like that. And it's like, wait a second. I mean, what person in their right mind is going to, you know, go to a job where you're, you know, just because I can work 14 hours a day doesn't mean I want to work 14 hours a day, you know?
And that's the 14 hours a day part, that doesn't bother me.
Oh, it does me.
It doesn't bother me because, again, I've been in the produce business my whole life.
Right.
I've never seen a 14-hour day, ever. My days are always 16, 18 hours.
Sure.
Always, they've always been my whole life. So that part doesn't bother me. And a lot of produce people, anybody that's been in the produce business will tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you did. But I just don't like the way you had to do it all at once. You couldn't break it up.
Right. You can't break it up at all.
And you're putting people's lives at risk there. Not only the person, not only that person, but the three people he's going to kill when he hits your car.
The potential of everybody around you.
Yep. I don't know how they got away with that without more flack. And again, I blame the ATA because they were a big part of that.
Right. When they redid everything. Yep. Yeah.
They were a big part of that, and the head of the ATA should have been arrested.
Our next guest, the head of the ATA.
I got my buddy Pothole Pete. He's looking into the pilot situation right now. I says, just get the 18-year-olds, get them out of school, get them up in the plane.
I told my wife the other day, I was like, you know, there's such a pilot shortage. I'll bet you I could get my pilot license in 2 or 3 hours and start flying a plane.
She's like, I gotta look into that. You know, Roadmaster, 8 weeks, you're a hero. Like, so why not?
She's like, yeah, you, somebody that won't even fly it on a plane to begin with.
Amen, brother. I'm with you.
I won't go.
If I can't drive, I ain't going, dude. No, I'm driving to Hawaii next time.
Well, look at it this way. When you leave ABE and you're on 22 with your airplane.
Yeah.
Well, you're close to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody said I had to put it up in the air.
Yeah, right.
You're a freaking sicko, dude.
That's pretty good.
Imagine a look at the state police barracks and that's going down.
Yeah, just imagine that.
Wings in it.
That's it. We don't need them full with wings.
Oh, God.
Just set your air brakes.
That's it. Air brakes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh man, that's
all we need.
What else can I tell him?
Ernest P. World to save the world.
There you go.
What I miss? See that? Added the scale. Oh yeah. Another thing about years ago,
uh-huh.
The scale houses. Now this was again down south. They were a lot easier, but from Virginia down, scales are open every single day. You don't get away from it,
right?
You know, unless you spend hours going around them, which I've been known to do that once in a while, especially with watermelons. You end up with 90,000 pounds on your trailer.
Wow.
You have to come home. But anyway, my dad wouldn't drive trailer. He would only drive. My dad owned 13 tractors and trailers at one time, and he bought chickens for Empire Kosher out in central PA. And he had a crew that would go out on every night and catch chickens and take them back to the slaughterhouse. And one time he owned 13 tracks of trails, but he lost it all. But anyway, when we started working for Dan, Dan wanted him to drive a trailer because he knew he owned trailers. Dad said, no, he said, I can't drive. And he couldn't. He never drove a truck.
No kidding.
Always drove straight trucks, but he never drove a truck. He would drive a straight truck to where they were going to pick up the chickens.
And then
the other guys would drive the trailers and stuff. And the crew and all that, and they would do that all night long. I was too young. I would have loved to have been involved with that because he had 50s, early 50s.
Wow.
He had a crew of some of the wildest guys I've ever met. They were wild back in the 50s. They were freaking nuts. But anyway, they were freaking nuts. But
the chickens got there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's important.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep. But so he told Daddy he would drive straight truck, but he wouldn't drive trailer. So Dan would send him to, we'd go to South Carolina most of the time, South Carolina, for sweet corn and tomatoes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were hauling tomatoes back the one time, got on the scale house, and we were over by like 150 pounds on the back axle. That's all it was. So guy said, pull over to the side. So pulled over to the side and said, now he said, you're 150 pounds over on your back axle. He said, I'll tell you a way to get around that. So he said, you guys move your 150 pounds of tomatoes into the cab. Have your son walk out to the end of the ramp. You guys get through the scale, put the tomatoes back in, then your son can get back in the cab.
Wow.
So that's what we did. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, they would let you get away with stuff like that.
Wow.
Or either that or just open up a produce stand. I got to sell 150 pounds of tomatoes here.
The thing is, you either leave 150 pounds of tomatoes there at the scale.
Right.
And hope somebody takes them.
Or the scale house is waiting for the guy hauling lettuce to come through, and now they can make a cob salad. Right.
And then they're waiting for the pig hauler, and we can make a BLT. BLT, you know, what the freaking heck? Yeah. Why stop with lettuce and tomato, dude? Right.
Yeah, so we moved the tomatoes, and I walked to the end of the ramp and got back in the truck.
That is crazy.
And that wasn't the only time stuff like that happened with him, with my dad.
Wow. It is so different now, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
I mean,
I had that going across the Jersey scales when I had pups, you know, fixed fifth wheel, tandem, and pups. Guy says, you know, on the back pup, you're 28,000 overweight, you know, over your axle weight. I says, how can I be?
Right.
He says, well, you are. I says, and I looked up at him. It was at Greenwich.
Yeah.
I looked up at him. I says, my back axle's not even on your scale yet. He's like, they actually came down. They looked. He says, well, you're over length. I says, how can I be over length? I says, the guy in front of me had the same truck. And to this day, you can't fit a twin screw tractor day cab with 28 foot pups with the fifth wheel all the way back on the Greenwich scales.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane. They never thought of measuring it out. Yeah.
It's the shipper clause.
No, well, you know, that was P-Jax. I'm like, how far you want me to go? You know, I had the front wheels literally coming off, you know, the front.
Right.
And the back axle wasn't on. Wow. It wasn't on.
So how were you?
That's planning.
That's what I was asking them. I says, how's this, you know, the truck's not even on scale yet.
Right.
You know, so they left me go because, you know, they knew two exits down, we were done.
Right. Yeah, got to get the scale stretcher out.
And gotta get the scale stretcher or the trailer shrinker. One of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah.
One of the two.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories of, you know, like you said, down there in the South.
Well, the other nice thing about the South, too, from Virginia down, they pull you on the scale. As long as you were only over on an axle, they take you around back and let you fix it.
Right.
Pennsylvania, up here, You're caught.
Right. Yeah.
You still have to fix it,
but you still get the ticket.
Yeah. You're going to get the citation.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still this way, but you used to have three tries.
Wow.
To make it right.
Right.
My sister.
No kidding.
What? My sister, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was his 85 Peterbilt.
Wow.
You're talking about the Kenworth, but he had a Peterbilt too. And that's most of what us kids remember the Peterbilt.
Yeah.
I remember the Kenworth.
That is really cool. That's neat. That's a good picture, dude. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, Brian.
We all were.
You're just upset you don't have your hair.
Not so much anymore. I don't really care. At this point, it's like, you know, it's all good. You're doing right. And haircuts. Yeah,
the problem is not that he doesn't have his hair. It's just that he grew too tall.
Exactly. Right. I grew out of my hair.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know.
You do like my brother-in-law always said, look, my brother-in-law always said, God only made a few perfect hair heads. The rest of them he put hair on.
Amen, brother. There you go.
That's it.
You're going to write that one down.
Perfection. And it gets more and more perfect every day because I see the hair on my pillow every day. It's moving its way back. It's still disappearing.
Right.
It's all right. It's all good.
Yeah, in your travels, you know, of going through all your nostalgia stuff.
Yeah.
You ever come across one of an old your old bingo cards for the scales? Never found one?
Actually, you saying that, I never filled one out.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's an answer. that might be why.
And I'll tell you another thing. Maybe we shouldn't be saying this over the air.
Yes, sir.
Back then, I would load up on a Thursday or a Friday. I'd leave Saturday for Florida. This is when I hauled foliage for Dan. I would leave Saturday for Florida. A lot of times I wouldn't leave till Sunday morning and unload Monday in Florida. But I load up. I head to Florida. I'd unload. I'd go down to Fort Lauderdale or usually Fort Lauderdale is where I'd start, or Homestead. It's where I'd start. I'd load up the first day down there and then come back, load up Delray Beach, Boynton Beach, a couple other places, and then come halfway back to Apopka and then stop, go the next day to Apopka, do all my loading, finish loading, then go to truck stop and stop, fill out my logbook for going down so I could come home.
Wow.
I did that all the time. All the time. There would be times we'd be sitting in the truck stop for 2-3 hours because I'd fill out. That's wrong.
Right, yeah.
Trying to.
That logbook,
you're with your boy. Here, take your crayons and fill out this coloring book.
Well, back then, logbooks were only 59 cents.
So right.
Yep.
Go through.
You buy them by the gross. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's just so much different. Yes. And you know what? I don't think there was any more then than there is now.
No.
There's so much more traffic now, though.
Oh, my word, yeah.
I mean, I understand the laws have to be a little stricter now because of the traffic.
Right.
I understand that, but it's just the thing that gets me is just no common courtesy. That just makes my blood boil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go, a truck passes you, you flick the lights, they come over. Most of them don't even blink you anymore.
No blink, yep.
Nobody, you know.
Yep.
And I was always.
And half of them don't even flash their lights for you to come over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, there's something I can say that, though.
Yeah?
Because in New Jersey, they flash you to say, don't fucking come over because I'm hitting the gas pedal.
Nice. No, is that why they do that? Because people from out of state do that all the time at night. Well, have you noticed that?
Yeah, what it is
you're good.
The high beams is. The flash to pass rule. They're flashing you because they want to pass you.
Is that a rule or is that a law? Is that just.
No, that's
That's what they learned when they went to driving school.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah. I just thought it was them saying,
yeah.
Thinking you don't see them.
Yeah, it's one of those irritating things that, you know, somebody comes up behind you and they flash their lights. Like, did I do something wrong? What am I doing? Right. My turn signal's not on. I'm not doing anything.
They want to get the hell around you. Yeah.
You just want to pull them over and say, that's not how it works.
You do. You're not in Jersey anymore.
Right. I never knew that either. Because I knew Jersey and me never got along either. Mm. I used to pull Jersey out of my. When I buy a map, I'd pull Jersey out and tell
Danny. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Danny and Dan, I can't drive Jersey. It's not in my map.
I need toilet paper.
Oh, I had all my old logbook, all my old maps from when I ran North Jersey with all the, for Pitt. mine are floating around here somewhere. I never got rid of them.
Those things are gold for the antique store now.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Who uses the map? It's like Tony. Yeah, no, you know, when my son started driving, it's like, I don't need any maps. I have my GPS. Yeah,
I can't.
I don't either. I'm a map guy. Yep. I'm like, what the heck?
Same here.
I don't know. Yep. I don't know. It's one of those things that just, you know, dies hard, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, he never used the map. And he used DoorDash.
Or you go with plan B. Don't go nowhere you don't know where that you've been.
Exactly. But yeah, it's kind of hard when you work for a trucking company. So,
yeah.
Well, pretty soon, you know, they got to work with the driver. I can't go there. I don't know how to get there. Oh, okay.
Well, now they work. Else. Now they work with the drivers.
Pretty soon, we're all going to be out of a job anyway.
That's fine by me.
We're all going to be automatic trucks. And we're all going to be like the Matrix. They'll have us all plugged in.
See that finger right there?
I like the way your dad thinks.
This is drawing the show.
It is. Yeah, but that's all right. It's a crossover. Hey, automatics. Yeah. Automated trucking. I don't know.
Just automatic trucks. I love them.
Oh yeah. It is nice, huh?
As long as you don't ever have to back up.
It is weird.
Well, that would be a tanker then. You'd want to pull a tanker because they never back up.
I have an international. You go to back up. Now, if you're in a straight line and you can do 20 miles an hour backing up, it's fine.
Right.
But if you try to back up slow, the thing jumps and hops and kicks. It's like riding a Bronco.
Well, that's teaching you, you know, don't screw around backing up. Get your ass in the dock.
Yeah. Don't take your time.
It's an alarm. Yeah.
You got 10 seconds. Move.
Yes. You know, that great gripper or whatever it is backing up, like you said, you know, it locks you. You think you hit something. Oh, no, you didn't hit nothing. It just, you know.
It just decided to lock.
You didn't feather the gas quick enough. Oh, the throttle word. Quick
it.
Enough.
And it doesn't do it all the time, but it'll do it like, when I'm backing in at our terminal, I back in it at Harrisburg, never does it. I back in it in Allentown, and every time I take my foot off the fuel, put it on the brake, the gripper comes on. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then you got to wait for it to go and release you, you know? Yeah. Well, now it's going to take me longer to get backed in because now you screwed me all up.
Or you backing in and you, like at our farm. It's only blacktopped out like 15 feet from the doors.
Uh-huh.
So you're backing up and your tires hit the blacktop. It just stops you dead.
Huh. And it's crazy.
It's
all this newfangled stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. I like shifting gears.
But I do have to say, I've gotten to where I almost like driving forward.
Almost?
Almost.
Well, that's a key component in driving trucks, driving forward.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen some of these guys backing up lately? I don't know. I think it's a pretty key component of driving truck is backing up.
It was always a pretty proven fact that I do better backwards than forwards.
Right. So, well, see, that's...
You'd be a good yard jockey.
What I found out is...
Right?
And I do yard jockey.
There you go.
What I found out is where old truck drivers end up going. They go to Miami and they go to the boat docks on the weekend.
Yeah, help people
because you
out.
Can make $50 a boat backing it in, you know, and dropping it in the water and backing the trailer in to get the boat out of the water.
Yeah, I thought they went to
Yukon. From Pitt, Ohio, they do.
There's no retirement.
No,
it's just part time. You,
amen, brother. That's it.
No, thank you. I want the next 18-year-old to be able to drive a truck. When I hand my keys in, I am not looking back.
Yeah.
The truck will be there.
You say that now.
Oh, no. Trust me when I tell you. No.
He says it all the time.
Mm-mm.
He's not leaving. He loves it.
Yeah.
He's a people person.
Just as much as the plague.
So, Nevin, swing that microphone over towards you.
Yeah, your turn.
You can lift it up a little bit. Well, you can just lift it. You can just slide right around.
Oh,
well, now you get the comfy one, huh?
10 minutes of us just moving the room around.
It's all right.
Are you going to switch this to break the shows?
No, we'll just do it this way.
Okay.
I'll just tell Jack at 1:23.
Well, show no, because we'd have to do an outro.
Yeah,
you
well.
Do an intro and outro?
Now you're going to get all technical here.
Work. You know,
I know, right?
Well, we might as well do it. Then you can break it and keep going.
All right.
All right. Well, that's the show.
You always got to get technical.
I'm just trying to help the producer.
I'm not.
Okay.
He was late today.
Well, you know, what can I tell you? He was behind a slow truck going through.
Yeah, I know. He's always like my wife whenever she shows up anywhere late. It was a tractor in front of me. I don't know.
It was an automatic.
Yeah, it was and he was hopping all over the place. I don't know what the heck's going on. Well, that's the show, everybody. Nevin, thanks for coming in and talking with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
It was a blast. We really had a great time. Thank you so much. And Ship, if people like the show, what can they do?
They share the show. And a big shout out to the 4 extra listeners we've learned that we have acquired in the Pittsburgh area, i.e. our travel agents are otherwise known as...
The cruise directors.
We're not going there. The line haul department at Pitt, Ohio.
Hey, man,
thanks
brother.
For listening. And hey, share the show with somebody else. And remember, keep the hammer down the hammer lane. Good day.
Good day.